Welcome to Books and Culture with John Wilson, the editor of Books and Culture. I'm your host, Stan Guthrie. And John, we're going back to the Michael Connelly well again. He is apparently one of your favorites.
Yes, in the spring we talked about The Scarecrow, and now we're back with Nine Dragons, which is the new Harry Bosch novel. Harry Bosch is a detective for the LAPD and the subject of a long-running series for which Connelly is best known.
Now, there are so many good thrillers out there, so many good mysteries. Why are you going to Connelly again?
Well, like many readers, probably millions if you add them up all over the world, I've become a fan of his work, and when a new book comes out, I read it. I think that part of the reason, as I said when we talked back in the spring, was that along with telling a really good story and creating some particularly memorable characters, he's got a down-to-earth moral sense that some of his fellow genre writers don't seem to have, and I certainly appreciate that.
Okay, John, let's just dive right into Nine Dragons. Why should someone pick it up?
The book begins with the murder of a Chinese man who runs a little market with his wife, and it quickly takes on more complicated dimensions. And it ends with Bosch going to Hong Kong because it appears his 13-year-old daughter, who lives with Bosch's ex-wife in Hong Kong, has been kidnapped. That's the basic scenario. I don't want to go into too much detail about the plot because I hope some of our listeners will read it. But part of the interest is that a good chunk of the action takes place in an unfamiliar setting in Hong Kong, and so you get that, which is a departure from the usual locale of the series.
Now, I know when I was growing up, I'd watch television shows all the time, and usually you knew that the show was coming near the end of its useful life when it put the characters out on location, whether they're going to Hollywood or Hawaii or something like that. Is that happening here?
I don't think so. In fact, I think this is a particularly strong book. And one of the reasons is that, like many books today, it reverses some of the familiar formulas of the detective genre. In the classic mysteries, as you know, the hero, with unerring instinct, solves puzzle after puzzle. He reads almost every clue right, and there's a sort of a straight line, sometimes with one or two little bumps in the road, to the solution. Now, that has not been the case for a long time, and you see different ways of portraying the detective in Raymond Chandler, for instance, who wrote many decades ago. But in recent years, there's been even more of a trend among writers in the crime genre to show their heroes as not only flawed in the sense that they have all of the ills to which any human is subject, but they sometimes make mistakes in judgment in the very thing that distinguishes them, their ability under pressure to read a situation, to draw inferences, to take the appropriate action. And these kinds of errors are not errors of the will. They're not errors that have to do with giving in to temptation. They're errors of judgment. They're mistakes. And yet the consequences can be, as they are in this book, very harsh. Part of the interest of this book is that it shows the main character, Harry Bosch, who has skillfully solved many cases, often against enormous obstacles. It shows him making a number of mistakes. They're honest mistakes. They're not foolish mistakes. And as always, as I mentioned a moment earlier, he's operating under pressure. He doesn't have the time that, for instance, an academic analyst does to stand back and look at something over a long time and muse on different solutions. He has to act quickly. But part of the interest of the book is in seeing how he gets a lot of things wrong, and so that by the time you get to the end of the book, you look back and see how many situations that looked one way when you were first hearing about them in the narrative actually meant something else.
That sounds a lot like real life.
It is, though, of course, all books like this, you and I have talked about this before as well, that it doesn't matter whether it's a so-called hard-boiled mystery or a so-called cozy, one of those books set in an English village. Doesn't matter. It's always stylized.
Sure.
What matters is not the surface correspondence to everyday reality, because no fiction really is like real life. And we wouldn't want it to be. But there can be a deep truth, a deep correspondence. And something else about this book that interests me, Stan, is something that I see in a lot of fiction that has absolutely no explicit religious concern at all. In fact, in this book, as in many books, God is practically invisible. And yet, there is such a strong religious dimension to the story that just cries out for something more. And I want to read you the very end of the book, and it's Harry Bosch talking to his 13-year-old daughter. He says to her, "We all make mistakes. Everybody. Sometimes, like with my partner, you make a mistake and you can't make up for it. You don't get the chance. But sometimes you do. We can make up for our mistakes here, both of us." Her tears had slowed. He heard her sniffle. He thought maybe this was why she had come to him, for a way out. So then he continues, "We can maybe do some good and make up for the things we did wrong. We'll make up for everything." "How?" she said in a small voice. "I'll show you the way. I'll show you and you'll see that we can make up for this." Bosch nodded to himself. He hugged his daughter tightly and wished he never had to let her go. Now, what's interesting about that is that acknowledgement of our fallenness is at the very heart of the Christian understanding of our condition. Mm-hmm. But the difference between Bosch's response and a Christian response is that he's saying, and it's a noble response in some way, he's saying, "We can make up for it. We can make up for it." And it's good that he's not blasé about what has gone wrong. It's good that he acknowledges that both he and his daughter have made very serious mistakes. But ultimately, as we know, we can't make it right on our own. We need help. We need God's help. And I'm not sure what Michael Connelly thinks about Bosch's resolve here. It's not clear to me whether he is, in a sense, speaking through Bosch, or perhaps more likely, though I'm not sure, perhaps he's saying this is what part of what makes Harry Bosch who he is. He has this desire to try to make things right. That's at the core of his job. That's what keeps him going as a detective. That's why he's impatient with his partner, who has three young children at home, and he leaves early because his wife is always calling him saying, "When are you coming home? When are you coming home?" And he understands the fix his partner's in, but he's also impatient with him because he's driven on his job to, you might say, make things right in a small way, to find someone who's committed a murder and bring them in a small way, make things right. Part of the reason I find this so interesting is that I come across passages like this in book after book that, for me, as a Christian, they're just like a giant signpost pointing in the direction of what we believe, but stopping short of that. And so I wish I've never met Michael Connelly. In a sense, you feel like you know someone. You've read more than 20 books. You feel like you know them better than you know some people who you work with. You know, you feel like you know them in a way. As I read his books, I find myself wishing that he would follow his own signpost.
Yeah, a lot of this world just does not make sense, and it cries out for more. There's got to be some meaning out there. Yeah. And it sounds to me like Connelly is perhaps searching for it. And if he is, I think God knows how to lead him in that direction.
Amen.
Thank you, John.